show. Enter the code OOB at checkout. Get that soothing post-shave balm, also free at harrys.com. Once again, the code is OOB. Hour 2, 105. That means Manny Robinson joins us from the Greenville News, greenvilleonline.com, and Manny being Manny on Twitter. He joins us right now here in Out of Bounds. What's up, Manny?
I can't call it, Quark. Kelly, how y'all doing?
And we're doing great. Hope you had a wonderful New Year down on the bayou and certainly a great vacation with the fam. Have you gotten back this way yet? Or are you still down there kind of soaking it in?
Yeah. It's funny, man. I'm sitting in the car pickup line for my children right now. I anticipated being on the way to Atlanta right now, but that's where we are. So, yeah, I'm back. I'm back home. Came in yesterday, smooth sailing, but already missing New Orleans, but yeah, enjoy the time and, you know, kind of relieved to be done, to be honest with you. I know that's not the sentiment of everyone in Clemson.
Well, it is it does make sense because, it is a grind for all of you, particularly those of you who are going down to Atlanta, you know, days in advance and the team going down, and it seems like a whole week, but I mean, you basically move game day operations down for a week. Alabama beat writers have to do it. Georgia beat writers now have to do it. So I'll leave it open-ended, Manny. You were there. You saw the game in living color, Clemson, Alabama, out on Monday. What are your general thoughts about what you saw?
I was so surprised at the dominance at the line of scrimmage, particularly from the Alabama defensive line on Clemson's offensive line. I didn't expect either team to dominate that way. I expected to be more of an even fight there. I mean, especially when you got guys like Mitch Hyatt and as your lead Taylor Hearn as a great number two, and but they just manhandled them, and by the time they got to where they got some rhythm, then a mistake would happen, and by that time Kelly Bryant was a bit shaken after the 13th hit. He started anticipating the pressure, balls started to sail, there were drop passes. It's just the sharpness that you come to expect from Clemson wasn't there on the offensive side. Didn't expect them to put up 35 like they did last year, but certainly didn't expect them to be shut out of the end zone.
Manny, so, I mean, for lack of a better term, let's play the blame game a little bit then. I think from your analysis, I would say that you're blaming the protection more or the most for Clemson's offensive struggles. Would you agree with that?
I'd say the most if you had to put a percentage on it, but I think everyone had a hand in that beatdown. I don't think anyone's absolved of blame. It's a team game, and I think a lot of people expect it. So the thing that was happening is like seemed like on at least every play or 90% of the plays, there was one breakdown someplace somewhere in 1/11th of the team. And when you have that against a team like Alabama, against any good team, I mean, against Syracuse, you have that time and time again, you're not going to have any success.
He is Manny Robinson, the Greenville News, GreenvilleOnline.com, @Manny B and Manny on Twitter. You talked about the line of scrimmage, Manny. And what bothered me is this is such a young program at Clemson, and there were so many guys that either hadn't played premium roles, primetime roles, or hadn't even been on that stage before, and really the veteran group that needed to be the glue was that offensive line. And maybe for the first time in Dabo Swinney's, I guess, recent history of Dabo Swinney's program at Clemson, the thing that you felt like you could count on just completely disappeared on the biggest stage. What's your thought on that, about just sort of the disappearing act for these guys who, a lot of them are older, grad students. I mean, guys getting their master's degrees, and there were freshmen and sophomores that basically had to fend for themselves out there.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of like yarn. Like you got a new thing of yarn. You went to the store and it just unraveled over and over and over again. And like there was, after a minute, there was no way to get it back going. They couldn't repair it. It's just beyond that. I think the play that kind of signified the whole thing was, I think Ankrum gave up a sack off the edge. I mean, just whiffed. And then got the penalty on the turnover at the end of the play that tacked on 15 yards. It was just almost, you don't want to say a comedy of errors, but it was just like, man, just you started to feel bad for the offensive line at some point, and that's something you don't think you would say about a playoff team.
I would 100% agree with that, but I did kind of feel bad for him. Was there anything in the moment that you could feel, because it's hard to tell sometimes on TV or watching the TV copy, but was there anything in the moment that you were like, gosh, you know, Alabama's just scheming them, they're just dialing them up? To me, it looked like a lot of similar stuff that we saw Auburn and Miami do, some of these great defensive fronts, even a little bit different, but NC State, they face a great defensive front. Was there anything that Alabama did, that Jeremy Pruitt did, that you thought, oh, that's brilliant, that's genius, as you watched it unfold in real time?
And see, that's the issue. There was really nothing elaborate that I saw. I mean, maybe I want to go back and look at the film and maybe I'll see something differently, but it seemed like, you know, still simple twists, simple stunts. It was just a physical one-to-one battle, and Alabama was winning it more often than not. And that, I think that's more telling of the kind of night that Clemson had, that it's like, man, they, you know, wow, Jeremy Pruitt really put a lot into those 30 days of preparation. No, I just think it was he came out there with, you know, simple straight ahead, run 4.3, and you take the guy that comes. But the things that they were doing, it wasn't anything that Clemson hasn't seen at some point over the season. Maybe played a little too safety more than they expected or whatever. But, I mean, still, that's not groundbreaking. They should be able to make those adjustments, and they never did.
Manny, we brought up this idea of a quarterback competition throughout the offseason and in the spring and summer. You know, that's going to be upon us in 2018. And that's the reality, is your job is never safe. It's never a lifetime contract, right? So there will be some sort of competition. How do you see that playing out? Obviously, we are many, many months away from kickoff for Clemson. But give us your initial thoughts and maybe an initial read on what we're going to be hearing about this quarterback competition throughout the spring and the summer.
Yeah, I think that's the worst thing that could happen for Kelly Bryant, is to have that kind of performance in this last game of the season. I think that is going to, right or wrong. It's wrong. It would be wrong to judge him, you know, going into a competition off of that, given what he was able to accomplish over the course of the season. If it was me making a decision, I would, you know, say, hey, establish Kelly as the starter. And then go from there. I said, stick with Kelly Bryant until you need to go otherwise. But again, I'm in my children's car line. I'm not in the war room preparing it. So the other thing, someone made a point, immediately after game, you know, 2:30 in the media hotel, but that the offense would change with Lawrence or Johnson a little bit. I mean, you're not going to reinvent it, but the things that you can do with Kelly and maybe even Cooper are a little bit different. So it's like, do you want to go ahead and make that transition and go ahead and start transitioning your offense? I mean, I think there's some merit to that, too. It just depends on what they want to do. And you know, in the past, Sweeney and the staff have been very loyal to upperclassmen, especially someone who's kind of gone through and done the things that Kelly Bryant has done. So I don't think there's anything, even though this is, a bad way to stop Lisa. You know, the only way you can leave New Orleans with a bad taste in your mouth is playing that kind of way. But I don't think that should have that much bearing on which way to go after this.
All right, so now, Manny, we have Georgia-Alabama in the national championship game. I know there are a lot of people going, here we go again with this SEC national championship game. Certainly the circumstances are different. It wasn't contrived. The two teams had to earn it. But what's your read on maybe what an all-SEC national championship means for college football and specifically the playoff moving forward? Are there ramifications coming down the pike in your mind?
I thought that was the kind of the reason they went to the playoff to begin with, to avoid that LSU-Alabama debacle from a few years ago. The thing about it is, this is going to be a better game and more entertaining game. You have you're going to have better offensive play. Especially, again, it's kind of like, you know, who expected 35-31 last year between those two great defenses? But I think you're going to get something similar to that on this quick turnaround. I mean, it is a really quick turnaround for the championship game, given where New Year's Day fell and then the following Monday. So, I think that's going to be better. If you're saying it's going to be reactionary after this, what the committee does, But I think, you know, even though there was controversy over whether Alabama should have been in, I think they're satisfied with the outcome and the way these games have played out, especially if you, for the first time in a long time, you actually got a compelling and entertaining semifinal.
Manny, so I'm going to leave this question kind of open-ended, okay? And you run with it.
All right.
Is it good for college football as a whole that Georgia and Bama are playing in the national championship?
It might surprise you, man. I think it's okay. I don't think it matters this year. I think the kind of the uniqueness of it being in Atlanta, with this kind of, you know, you're seeing, you already seen the buzz of the ticket prices and all of that. I think that goes into it as well. But yeah, if you want to look from a pure purity standpoint and you know, about representation, as I've always kind of stumped for, but yeah, that's kind of bad. You didn't have a team from the Big Ten. You didn't have a team from the Pac, and they played themselves out of it. But yeah, because I remember saying Saturday night that I didn't think Alabama deserved to be in. I always thought they were good enough to be in, and they proved that. But as far as the what they did to get there, I don't think they did enough to get in. But what can you say now when you're going to have again an entertaining final, more likely than not?
Oh, there's no question about it. And whether you deserve to get in or not, people said the same thing about Ohio State 3 years ago. They won it, and after they won it, there weren't a whole lot of people going back to relitigate that. They seem like the best team, you know, in the Final Four. One more, Manny, because it seems like your kids are maybe in the car now. I want to ask you one quick question about Clemson basketball going up to BC tonight, a team that made 1,000 threes against Duke already and has gotten off to a pretty good start in league play, barely lost to Virginia. This is a big game now for the Tigers, a team that is suddenly ranked. What's your read on the Clemson basketball situation?
Yeah, I think my daughter's in the back trying to tell me what to say. My wife told me they were watching the game while we were there. They were watching the game while they were there. They were watching something on Netflix. She turned up and Clemson, she saw Clemson was losing. She's like, Clemson, you're better than this. This is my 7-year-old daughter. So I think this is what she was kind of schooling me on right
She's
here.
She's not wrong. She's not wrong.
You're right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. But it's as far as tonight, the basketball team, it's funny, we didn't expect to be covering a ranked basketball team at this point in the season. But Boston College, like I said, not Duke. This is, I think, top to bottom right now, the ACC, there's nothing easy. I mean, you know, there are teams that are perceived less than, but I think this year in ACC, there's really not an easy game. And I think that's going to help. That's going to help Clemson when it comes tournament selection time. I think that committee kind of looks at that. I know there's a lot of political red tape and things that go into that selection service, but I think Clemson, if they can handle business and get one of these on the road, that always bodes well on a resume, and I think they can take care of business tonight.
Here's Manny Robinson playing daddy daycare and doing radio interviews at the same time. You got to love it. Thanks, Manny. We appreciate it. Greenville News, GreenvilleOnline.com, at Manny B. Manny on Twitter. Drive safely with the kids in the back, and look forward to visiting with you again next week.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure. Y'all take care.
All right, same to you. That's Manny Robinson, our friend from the Greenville News. You got to love the dedication from Manny in the car line with the kids in the back doing a little interview. We love that. You remember when Brett like stepped out from the Black Friday shopping
yes.
to be with us? That's like
That's
the opposite
thing.
Right
I
there.
I mean, look at all of our guests, just wonderful family men, picking up the kids, doing their jobs. I love it. 2018.
I want to talk a little about George Oklahoma when we come back. We keep teasing that out. We're going to get to it. Stay with us. More to come Out of Bounds in just a moment.
If you and Santa need a little help this holiday season, check out State Credit Union's Holiday Loan. You may borrow up to $2,500, and it's super fast and easy to apply online. Visit State Credit Union online at scscu.com for more information. That's scscu.com. Offer valid through January 31st, 2018. Approval subject to credit worthiness, rates, conditions, and programs subject to change without notice. State Credit Union is federally insured by the NCUA.
Hi, this is Leah from Local Q, letting you know that our draft selection just got even bigger. With 25 rotating beers on tap, you are sure to find the perfect fit. Come in and try something new while you enjoy a game of Scrabble or Connect Four with a friend. Each month, we feature a different brewery and host tap takeover events. So be sure to check out Untapped or LocalQ.com to keep up with our rotation. Swing through today and see what we have featured this month. Local Q, the place to connect for beer, barbecue, and board games.
Everybody knows the story. You can't sleep on a bed that's too hard. You can't sleep on a bed that's too soft. But you can sleep on a bed that's just right. Engineered sleep might not have been around when Goldilocks was written, but they know that a bed that's just right is made just for you. It's not just a fairy tale. They actually build a mattress based on your sleep habits and patterns so that you can get that Goldilocks kind of sleep. And if after a couple of weeks you find it's not perfect, Engineered Sleep will adjust it until it is. Visit their location at 627 Congaree Road to see the process and learn how your mattress is made. By manufacturing your custom-made mattress at their factory, you're saving money because there's no middleman. Factory to you. And you can score a significant discount by picking your mattress up instead of having it delivered. Engineered Sleep, it's not mattress shopping, it's an experience.
What interest rate would you rather pay on your credit card debt? 16% or less than 6? The answer is obvious, LightStream. Because with LightStream, you may be able to consolidate credit card debt and dramatically cut your interest rate to as low as 5.49% APR with AutoPay. Plus, radio listeners get an additional rate discount. Just go to lightstream.com/sports. With average interest rates on credit card debt at 16% APR, LightStream could save you thousands in interest. And because LightStream is a division of SunTrust Bank, one of the nation's largest and strongest financial institutions, you can have complete peace of mind. The application takes just minutes, and there are no fees and no pressure. Just lower rates, one low fixed monthly payment, and huge savings. So if you have good to excellent credit, apply today and get a special interest rate discount when you go to lightstream.com/sports. That's lightstream.com/sports. lightstream.com/sports.
Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Available when you select auto pay prior to loan funding. Advertised rates, terms, and promotions are subject to change without notice. Conditions and limitations apply. Visit LightStream.com for important terms and conditions.
Recently, I sat down with my friend Jana Candler, who is a new and upcoming realtor in the upstate. Jana, I know you recently got into the real estate business, so give me some of your stats.
Well, I started back in May, and I have had 8 closings since May, so that's pretty good here in the real estate market. I'm also working with several new clients right now. I think that being new gives me the ability to spend a little more time with people and really find what they are looking for and just take good care of them.
Break it down for me, Jana. Where are you buying and where are you selling these homes?
Pretty much all over the upstate. I recently sold 2 houses here in Clemson, and the rest have been in the Greenville area, but I service all over the upstate.
How can people reach you?
You can call me today at 313-6990 or visit my Facebook page at Jana Candler Properties. There's a couple of videos in there that will tell you a little bit more about me, as well as a video of what I do when I list a home. Jana Candler Properties, putting the real in real estate.
Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush and Kelly Gramlich.
You've arrived here at a critical moment.
Now back to Quack and Kelly on WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
I want to love you. B-Y-T. Pretty young thing. You need some loving. B-Y-T. Turn the love and care. And I'll take it there. Girl. I want to love you. B-Y-T. Pretty young.
All right, welcome back. Glad to have you with us. You just brought up an interesting point about this national championship game. I want to get to it in a second. We got Clemson basketball talk coming up later as well. We just talked to Manny about it. Tigers taking on Boston College and what I think is an interesting matchup for no other reason than BC looks pretty good. And all I'm saying is, dust off that Hansbrough jersey for Kelly because they're definitely winning 6.
Can we
100% winning 6.
Do you want to remind the listeners of our bet?
Yeah, so
I can't bring myself to say it.
So, and I'll just give full context here. Boston College beat Duke like a couple weeks ago, and Kelly was furious. She was feeling some type of way about the game.
I was on another level. On a new level.
You were on a new level, and I'm not even sure why this happened because I'm not even sure you watched the game.
I did.
So we start. You did watch the game.
Remember, I watched the first half, and then I had to go to a... Oh, I went and called our men's game. That's why.
That's what happened. So I was watching this. You were working. I was watching the second half. And I was just talking about how I thought Boston College, their out-of-bounds plays are great, and they were scheming whatever.
They're blobs and slobs.
And Kelly was like, shut up, Quark. They just threw shots up, and they went in. They got lucky, and they made a million threes, and they suck. They're terrible, and they'll never win a game ever again. And it was just
I'm pretty sure I said that exact word. I said that exact
there, like, I was mouth agape, like a Disney character. Like, my head was in the same place and my mouth dropped 2 feet. Like, I was just so concerned that Kelly wasn't giving Boston College any credit. And so it became kind of a thing where Kelly wasn't giving Boston College credit. And so Kelly was like, they suck. They always suck. They're terrible. They're not winning more than 4 games. And I said they win at least 6. And so what we said is that if they win 4 or fewer games, that I have to wear a Marcus Lattimore jersey for a day in the studio. Not going to happen. They're already 25% of the way there.
Well, and that's fine because...
And Pitt and Georgia Tech play in the league too, by the way.
Marcus, well, yeah.
Oh, did you see the Pitt story from last night?
Yeah, I did. You having to wear a Marcus Lattimore jersey is not the worst thing ever because he is a fine human and we all respect him.
Right.
Me having to wear a Tyler Hansbrough jersey is the punishment from hell. I mean, really? I'm scared. I'm very scared for myself. Even though Boston College is 1-1.
They're 1-1. They lost to UVA. They're about to be 1-2 tonight because I don't think they match up well with Clemson.
They lost to UVA by a point. And hopefully, we think, going to be 1-2 tonight. I'm still worried. I'm fretting over here.
Here's where I'm concerned about BC. Because Jim Christian, if you can dial up Duke now, Brad Brownell's coaching defense a little better than Coach K's coaching defense right now in 2018.
Well, again,
I can't believe I'm saying that, but that's real.
Florida State scored 93 on Duke. They hit 15 threes. Now, maybe the issue here is that Duke can't defend the three.
Which Clemson, it's been an issue with Clemson too, but Clemson has fixed it.
But also, when a team hits 15 threes, that's not exactly on you for your three-point defense. That's on that team for hitting 15 threes. It's not like every night they're giving up 9 or 10. That would be kind of an issue if consistently they can't defend it. But if a team hits 15 threes, that means they're just shooting the heck out of the ball.
Clemson right now in three-point defense, you know, it was an issue early. Clemson is 91st in the country in three-point defense at 33%. Teams hitting 33% of threes. Duke had to score 100 to beat Florida State. Teams are hitting 36% of threes against Duke. So that is in a 222nd. So you're going 91st to 222nd. That's not very good from Duke's perspective. Boston College in that game against Duke, they made a ton of tough deep twos and threes. They were 15 of 26 from three. Duke, meanwhile, was 8 of 30. That's too many threes, by the way.
That's way too many threes.
Grayson Allen was 1 of 9 from three. I thought Grayson Allen played great, except for putting the ball in the basket. But everything else, he was awesome. 6 assists, 5 steals. The guy was unbelievable in the game. And it wasn't good enough because BC scored 32. KenPom breaks it down to quarters. They scored 32 points in the second quarter of the game and 25 down the stretch.
But then again, let's look at a more recent BC outing.
Yes.
On December 30th, they lost by 1 at UVA. Charlottesville's a tough place to win. We know that.
Right.
This is what worries me, Quack. BC hits 7 threes against UVA.
That's a good... Well, I'll say this...
That's a very average day is my point.
Right.
They were 7 of 22. They shot 32% from 3. And they almost beat UVA.
Yes. I'll say this about Virginia. They are going to let you have tough shots, particularly perimeter shots. That plays into Boston College a little bit because if you've watched Boston College play, you know that Kai Bowman is a baller. I mean, the guy's just unbelievable. Jerome Robinson is a baller. The Chapman kid is a baller, can stroke it from three like 45-46% from three. So with Robinson and Bowman, who has bright red hair, by the way, dyed red hair, like spray paint dyed red hair.
You can't miss him.
Bowman, the way he plays, he's a chucker. He'll take any shot anywhere, anytime, and Virginia will let you do that. And if you make them, you go make them. They will give you threes. They're not going to give you anything inside the arc because they hold hands basically on defense. That pack line defense, you're basically holding hands and doing a merry-go-round dance. You're doing a, what do you call it? With the kids game where they're like holding his hands and they're like in a circle, ring around the rosy. Ring around the rosy on defense is basically what
Virginia's
pack line defense
is. Isn't Skip to My Lou, wasn't he an and-one mixtape? Wasn't that his name?
Oh,
Skip
yeah.
to My Lou?
Uh-huh.
Along with the professor and
Rafer Alston Was that Skip to My
Lou?
Maybe
so. We spent a segment on that once. Right. We can't do that again.
We did. But regardless of that, Boston College, to me, is an outstanding team at making tough shots. And Jim Christian will get their guys shots. He's going to draw plays to get their guys shots. Brad Vinell is also a ball coach, though. He's going to, you know, I like
ball
to say.
Ball coach, coaching ball
hey,
plays.
He's going to draw some ball
as
plays,
Clark
too.
As Clark says.
And this Clemson team, I saw somebody on Twitter. This is a friend of mine. He's been going to Clemson basketball games for a long time. Said that this is the best Clemson basketball team that we've seen in 20 years. 20. Now, I looked this up. The KenPom stats. KenPom goes back to 2002. It dates to 2002. You know how many times Clemson... Now, again, we've got the whole season to go, and Clemson's got some really good offenses that they're facing, but this is a weighted stat. So just because you give up a bunch of points to Duke, shall we say, doesn't mean that you're a bad defensive team. And so KenPom reflects that. You know the last time Clemson had a defense ranked this highly in KenPom's defensive rating system?
I don't know.
Never. Never. It's the best. Defensive rating.
And all we've talked about so far this season really is Clemson's offense.
I think it's the best scoring team I've ever seen at Clemson.
Ever.
I don't recall like games from the Sweets. I remember watching the Sweet 16. I came back from doing a little shopping. I don't know why we were shopping, probably for clothes. I don't know. Clothes shopping or something. Came back.
Last time you bought a brown belt was probably.
Bobby Jackson was playing point guard in Minnesota, and I remember watching that double overtime game. Andreas Shakunis, Terrell McIntyre, Greg Buckner, Harold James, and Tom Wyman. That team going toe-to-toe with Minnesota, who cheated like crazy to get those guys, by the way. And that was proven later. Clem Haskins cheated like in ridiculous ways. But the Tigers almost were in the Elite Eight. I don't have memories of like I watched that team and understood what was happening. I don't think I understood much until like 2001, where I could say this team could do this, or this team could play this way, or this team could do that. I've never seen a Clemson team play offense like this in the mid range, in the way they attack the paint. They shoot free throws. They take tough shots and make them. They've got guys who are consistent from three. I mean, they just have a lot of ways to beat. It's fun to watch them. I was watching Big Ten basketball last night with Indiana and Wisconsin, who aren't great, but they were running. Indiana was running a lot of motion sets, and I'm thinking this is what it's like to watch Clemson this year, where they're just running continuous action. They're getting shots.
Don't
it's
compare Clemson to Indiana. It's disrespectful this year.
It is disrespectful this year. I'm saying the stuff that they're running is very Midwestern, is very motion, and I don't think Brad Brunell has been able to run this type of offensive look since he's been here.
This team's so guard heavy, and that's why I love it. Yeah. And that's why this BC matchup doesn't really bother me. This is a main thing to watch tonight, and I think this is the main reason why Clemson's going to win this game by, I don't know, 7 or 10 is kind of what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Boston College has no depth. Zero. They play six players 23 minutes or more a game. Their next player plays about 12 minutes a game. Against Virginia, they played six players.
Yes.
Hold on. They played six players. And Robinson, Chapman, Bowman, the three guards that you mentioned who are all very good, each played 40 minutes.
Yeah, they don't come off.
How can this team compete with the depth Clemson's going to throw at them?
Clemson is not... I will say that Clemson has more bodies that are playing, but in terms of percentage of minutes, Clemson's still like a bottom 30 team in the country. Like, still not playing about...
How many players will Clemson play tonight?
Probably 8 or 9. I would think...
That's substantial to me when you're literally... Your rotation is six guys, and your sixth man against UVA, BC's sixth man played 14 minutes.
Against Duke, they played 7, but Vin Baker, who has to be related to Vin Baker,
he averages like 12 minutes a game. Yeah,
played like 4. Clemson will play guys, but they only play like 5 minutes.
With you that BC's improved. I am.
Yeah.
But I think at some point, the clock has to strike midnight. Like, you can't play your three guards 40 minutes a night every night in the ACC.
Here's what BC did against Duke that allowed Duke to stay in the game when they're making a million threes. They will turn the ball over regularly.
Yeah.
They do a lot of ball movement, but their posts aren't great. They're young, and they're not great in the offense. And their posts, they'll turn it over.
And there's 2.5 of them.
And the guards will just go. I mean, they'll just go and dribble it off their knees, and they're just downhill all the time. They are go in the half court, and they will give Clemson a chance to run.
Well, and that happens when you play 40 minutes a game. You're going to make stupid mistakes. You're going to make silly turnovers. Especially, I mean, you're playing 40 minutes, and Robinson, you know, taking 22 shots against UVA. That's just tough. That concerns me for BC. And I think it kind of makes sense because they're a little ahead of schedule in terms of their development and the program getting back on track, and they just don't have the depth. Whereas Clemson, you know, last year with all those one-point losses and everything, or single-digit losses, you can bring that up. But Clemson has depth. That's one thing this team has. And it has depth, experience depth. Those guys can go out there and play.
You know that that Clemson is going to, they're basically going to do the same thing they've always, they're going to play man, they're going to look to get out in transition. BC's playing a zone. Now, in BC's zone, they give you shots, so you got to make your shots. But they're not a great defensive team, but and they have to play a certain way. They have to play kind of, you know, sitting back a little bit. Bowman's aggressive defensively, but they sit back a little bit because they only play six guys. But they're not trying to get out in your face and pressure and whatever. Now, I see guys like Kai Bowman and Marquise Reed, because Reed could go 40. I mean, I look down at Marquise Reed's minutes every night. I'm going, gosh, that guy never came. He played 38 minutes.
It doesn't
minutes.
Feel like he ever comes off the floor.
My gosh. Unbelievable.
But I'm glad you bring that up, because that's an issue, too. With the way that Shelton Mitchell and Marquise Reed attack the basket, if you get two early fouls on one of these guards, BC has a serious problem. Who do you play?
You don't.
The way that
you go with four.
They benefited at UVA in the entire game. BC was called for 11 fouls. How is that even possible?
That's not great.
No, that's
not ideal.
What do you mean? That's not exception. That's not great for.
Well, to me, it said. Well, first of all, that says you're not playing tough.
Well, that's
you're not
my point.
Defense.
But because they only play six guys,
right?
That's part of the. That's part of the fabric of their team. When you only play six guys, you can't really be that aggressive on defense. You can't. Because if Jerome Robinson gets two early fouls, Boston College is pretty much done. If they can't play him for, let's say, the final 8 minutes of a half or something, they have a serious problem.
Right. I think that shows what kind of team they sit back. They don't get in passing lanes. They're not super aggressive. Now, teams that steal the ball and don't foul are... Like Clemson has some guys that steal the ball and don't foul. Marquise Reed doesn't get in foul trouble, steals the ball. Shelton Mitchell steals the ball, doesn't get fouls. Gabe DeVoe steals the ball, doesn't get fouls. Boston College doesn't get steals. So Clemson's going to be able to freely move the ball and get shots, unless they just throw it out of bounds over there. That's not what you want if you're BC. That's why I say it's not ideal if you've got eight fouls in the whole game. That's not ideal. You want a few more fouls than that. It's like teams that get down to the end and they need to, well, of course, North Carolina gets Wofford. They had like four fouls to give in the last minute of the game, so they had to just play whack-a-mole. Whoever got the ball, just whack them, and then go and take the ball out. You want some fouls so you don't get screwed at the end of ball games. I think it's a bad matchup for BC, honestly.
Yeah, I think so, too. And we'll talk about it a little more, but we do have to talk about Georgia, Oklahoma. We've been teasing it for
two hours. Do we have to?
I mean, I think it would be good to acknowledge.
They played.
This is the best semifinal game we've had in the playoff era, for sure.
Oh, heck yeah.
For sure.
No doubt.
That was fun.
I was thinking back to all the playoff games. Have there been any semis that were decided by one score?
Yes, you had Bama, Ohio State in the very first playoff.
Was one score?
It was 42-35.
Okay, because I remember Ohio State. I feel like Ohio State kind of had a comfortable lead there.
Yeah, it ended up being closer. Oregon FSU wasn't close.
That's right.
But yeah, I mean, that is without a doubt the best semifinal game we've had.
No question. We'll talk about it when we come back. 654 Roars the number. Stay with us. More to come Out of Bounds in a moment.
Join Walt Deptula's Road Rage at Twin Peaks this Thursday for some awesome food, drinks, and of course the scenic views. Get sports delivered to you like only Walt can do. And enjoy the cold beer and the HD TVs live this Thursday at Twin Peaks on Woodruff Road.
Up next, it's Don Munson with your Daily Tiger Update, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Relax, we're in Tiger Town. Founders Federal Credit Union is in Clemson for all your financial needs. With products and services like free checking with e-statements, loans for all reasons, the Founders app with mobile deposit and Founders Online, you can be all in at Founders and all in with your national champion, Clemson Tigers. For product information, visit foundersfcu.com. Not a Founders member? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to the show. Prep work for Clemson's second game of the 2017 football season in full swing right now as Clemson gets ready to take on Auburn 7 o'clock Saturday night in Memorial Stadium. A lot of historical ties between the two schools. The first three coaches in Clemson football history were all Auburn graduates. Walter Riggs, Clemson's first head coach and later university president, was the Clemson head coach from 1896 through 1899. He is a 1893 Auburn graduate. William Williams, Clemson's head coach in 1897, was a 1896 Auburn graduate, while John Penton, Clemson's head coach in 1898, also had graduated from Auburn. He had done that actually in the spring of 1898. John Heisman, while not an Auburn graduate, of course, he came to Clemson from Auburn. He coached at Auburn from 1895 to 1899, then here at Clemson from 1900 through 1903. Heisman went 12-4-2 at Auburn before coming to Clemson. He then went 19-3-2 here at Clemson. He coached Auburn to a victory over Clemson in 1899, then did the same for the Tigers over Auburn in 1902, Clemson winning 16-0. And this report brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union, the official credit union of the Clemson Tigers.
As a business, you want a clean facility for your customers, your staff, and your guests. Turn to the best in the industry, JanPro. You are hiring a company whose staff is certified, not just trained. They're insured and bonded, and they go through an intense 5-week certification program. They're local business owners growing the local economy, and they can do more than just cleaning. You'll be more than satisfied with the JanPro team on your team. You'll be amazed. Call JanPro today at 458-3053.
This weekend, it's the Great American Gun Show at the Anderson Civic Center. Buy, sell, trade. Guns, knives, weapons of all kinds. Bring your guns. Tell your friends. This weekend, Saturday 9 to 5, Sunday 10 to 4. Guns, knives, ammo, holsters, camo, and shooting supplies. Admission $8. Kids 12 and under free with paid adult. Don't miss this gun and knife show at the Anderson Civic Center. 3027 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Anderson. Tell your friends to bring their guns. This weekend, be there.
Are you confused about the right steps to take to secure the proper financial plan for your future? The independent advisors at Kiwi Financial Group in Clemson can guide you through every step. Options for fee-based planning allow you to invest with transparency and to know where every dollar goes. We offer sound, comprehensive advice with solutions to fit any investing appetite. Call Kiwi Financial Group today at 654-5043 or online at kiwifg.com.
The world has many types of tanks, from the Leopold to the T-62 to the M1 Abrams. But the most widely feared tank in the world today is the full septic tank. Don't call the Pentagon. Call Roto-Rooter. Serving the upstate and western North Carolina, Roto-Rooter will battle with any sort of septic problem. With their army of specialists, call 226-9452. 226-9452. Online at rotorooter.com.
Call Roto-Rooter, that's the name.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Out of Bounds is on the air.
That's all anybody will talk about, and that will be that.
105.5 The Roar. Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. You know, all eyes are on Arizona, and for good reason, because we want to figure out when they're going to hire Kevin Sumlin, which I think makes a lot of sense.
Ooh. Allow him to mess up that quarterback room.
But have you seen, it's such a monumental day in Oregon.
In Oregon? In the state of Oregon?
You hadn't seen this?
What happened?
We're going to talk about we can't do it.
Okay,
now.
Well, I have one Hump Day headline for you that's outrageous, but we have to talk about Georgia,
people are
Oklahoma.
So mad. They want us to talk about Georgia. Apparently, we said that Oklahoma would kill Georgia. Did you hear that conversation? Where people just make, I swear, people make stuff up. This is, I'm not going to say that. We live in interesting times in America where you could say the dog walked to the park and somebody will come back saying, wow, you guys really slapped the bridge in the face, right? Oh, the dog walked to the park, did he? Well, you guys said the park was stupid and that the dog should have walked to the bridge, so there you go. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, I had people yesterday going, well, you guys said Alabama sucked all week. No, we did not say Alabama sucked all week. I did not say Alabama sucked. I did not say Alabama was terrible, that they didn't have a chance. I just freely pointed out some things about Alabama.
I asked you to give me three reasons why Alabama could win, and you like couldn't give me three reasons.
I couldn't give you three reasons. I didn't know.
Okay.
It wasn't a thing.
Neither of us said OU. I mean, I didn't think Oklahoma was going to blow out Georgia. That's not what I said.
Like, people are like, oh, you guys disrespected Georgia all year.
I thought Oklahoma was
going to
win.
No, you know what we did? We disrespected Georgia when they beat Vandy 56-7. Everyone was like, oh, you're going to give Georgia credit now? No! Daniel High School beat Vandy the other day. No, not giving Georgia credit when they beat Vandy by 7 touchdowns.
You picked Georgia to beat Auburn in the SEC championship.
I did. Oh, you guys said Georgia was terrible all year.
I picked Auburn.
No, we didn't. That is fake. That is phony baloney fake news. Some of you, I'm going to submit your text for Donald Trump's fake news and dishonest media awards in 2017, which he says he's given out. He says he's given
he's
those
already
out,
given those
and
out.
I'm submitting some of your texts on the text line to Donald J. Trump, the president of the United States, when he gives these out, because you folks are fake news.
We didn't
get
one.
You guys told, said Georgia was terrible all year, and they were going to go 0 for an SEC.
No, we didn't.
I picked Georgia to win the SEC East.
I mean, I think we give Georgia adequate respect.
I picked an Auburn-Georgia SEC championship.
Did you want us to knight Georgia in a pre-show ceremony? Did you want us to get the sovereign over here and lay the sword on Georgia's shoulder and say Georgia was amazing all year long?
Hear ye, hear ye. I knight thee, Georgia.
For beating Missouri by 30 points, you have been dubbed a knight of the round table of the Southeastern Conference. And you got people in this ceremony. Like, what are we supposed to do with Georgia? And what do people want us to do with Georgia? Well, you want us to say they're going to win by 40 points, 50 points, 60 points against Tennessee? Or did you want us to just ignore that game like we ignore most games where teams are favored by 30?
I struggled to even put Georgia on the you pick 'em because they played the most atrocious teams in the world. They weren't even exciting games.
Could
I feasibly put on the you pick 'em? That could actually be. I put Georgia Notre Dame on there, and I put Georgia Auburn, the first, obviously, the one in Jordan Hare. There's not a single other game that I could have put on the you pick 'em that would have been close, that people would have not picked Georgia.
Correct.
I don't even think I put Georgia South Carolina on there.
No, because it was an easy game. It was an easy game. So what were we supposed to do with Georgia?
I put Georgia Florida on there.
Hey,
I don't know why.
By the way, congratulations to remember how the Georgia defense at Oklahoma was overrated. Remember we heard that one all week. Oklahoma's overrated, and Georgia they've never seen anything like Georgia. Quark.
I'm going to make one point about OU and their offense.
Yeah,
and I'll just ask you this question. Why on earth did OU go away from Baker Mayfield down the stretch? Why would you do that? Why would you go away from your bread and butter? I'm talking that really a lot of the second half, but the final 55 seconds when Georgia got the ball back with the game tied, and specifically on the two possessions they had in overtime, they didn't let Baker Mayfield do anything. He threw one ball at the end zone in two overtime possessions. They brought in Kyler Murray. They brought in Kyler Murray to run some sort of, I mean, like, what were you doing? I was very confused by that. They took the ball out of Baker's hands. They took the game out of Baker's hands.
You scored 31 and had a zillion yards and basically did whatever you wanted. And it was weird. Now, I said, and this is the thing I was most wrong about in the game. The thing I was most wrong about. That I said Oklahoma would win the third. I figured the game would be closer at halftime, honestly. Like 21-21 or something like that. Which, by the way, this guy, Bozo, why don't you go back and listen to some shows. We've seen up to the playoff, you both spoke as if Georgia wouldn't stay within two scores. What was my score prediction for the game?
For Georgia-Oklahoma?
Yeah. Do you remember? Because you were a little bit surprised.
I don't think I gave one.
I picked Oklahoma by a touchdown.
Yeah, you did.
A one-possession game. Again, this is all it's almost like every fan base is trying to one up Saban.
Well,
who invents disrespect out of thin air and makes things up to the point that his players. Did you see what Tony Brown said on the field about Dabo and Renfro lying? They lied. Like if you say something long enough, you can believe it. Any lie, you believe a lie is the truth if you say it long enough. I mean, just invent disrespect for Georgia. At no point did we say they would come within two scores. I said it'd be a one-score game, and I talked about Oklahoma's offense was maybe the best ever. And for a half, that's what it looked like. It looked like this vaunted SEC defense was getting steamrolled by an offense that it could not hang with. 31 points. I mean, what would you call that? And Georgia didn't win with their defense, by the way. They won on offense. They scored 31 points in the second half of football against an Oklahoma team that was a top 20 defense in the third quarter. They played an elite third quarter on offense. They didn't win like all these Georgia people thought their defense was going to come in and smack them around. They scored 54, and it took every one of those 54 points to win the game, and they should be commended for that because Jake Fromm was outstanding, and that run game was tremendous.
Maybe this is what, because, I mean, the Georgia fans are coming at us on Twitter, and that's fine. Maybe this is what they want us to, I mean, Georgia's better than I thought. Is that what they want us to say? I didn't think Georgia could score 54 points against the number two team in the country. I really did not. So, props. I mean, is that, what else can we say?
I don't know what people want us to say about Georgia. Again, they want us to knight Georgia.
You're playing for the national championship. That's amazing. Great. I mean, just very, very sensitive.
I know. The Georgia fans, like I said, I don't think there's any fan base more pretentious than Georgia fans this year. I mean, just all of you, just as a group, as a general group, you're just pretentious. Like trying to talk down every other fan base about how football is supposed to be played and, you know, in your league where people don't run it or people aren't. You know what I'm saying? Like some of you Georgia people are fine, but the lot of you are just disgusting. You just disgust me. So when Alabama goes.
Why are you doing this?
When Alabama goes into. Look, there are a lot of reasons why I like Georgia in this game, but there's one overarching fact. And I don't know why. I'm just going to say it. Like, we got two more shows. I'm just going to say we got three more shows before the Natty. I'm saying it. Nick Saban destroys his assistants. Every time in Timbuktu and Alabama and at your place, he's going to destroy you. Remember, we said Jimbo's not beating Saban. Why? Because his former assistants, and Saban always destroys his former assistants. The wannabe former assistants that try to go out on their own. Daddy's home. Saban's home. He's going to smack you around. Nice old year, Georgia. I mean, it's going to feel like Clemson had, honestly. I don't know what Oklahoma had a game in the bag. I don't know what they did, but I thought Georgia's adjustments. Now, I will say this. I don't think Georgia won a game on defense, but their defensive adjustments in the second half were good in that they frustrated Baker. I felt like Baker was a little, when they did put it in his hands, he was a little hesitant. They were giving different coverage looks, and I would agree with that. I would 100% agree with that. But Georgia's offense is what won them the game. 500 and whatever yards. And Jake Fromm being brilliant won them the game. And frankly, the extra or the field goal block by Lorenzo Carter won them the game. An outstanding third quarter by Georgia. 654 Roar is the phone number. 654-7627. Just the fake news about everybody. Everybody said Georgia was going to lose by 100 and all this stuff. It's just phony baloney. You know, at some point in our conversations, just as people with one another, as people, we got to do a better job. We got to do a better job of just being real with each other. I mean, not everything is a personal slight. Not everything is a personal affront. Not everything is an attack on you as a person. Not everything is subject for disrespect or just because one person says something negative, it doesn't mean the world hates it. Clemson fans are guilty of it too. The reality is that Georgia's favored by 3. Alabama's favored by 3, and they both won. When you're favored, that means people think you're going to win or you wouldn't be favored. This disrespect where nobody thought Alabama and Georgia would be here, they would be underdogs.
Are we the only people in the whole world that doubted Georgia?
No.
Because that's what people seem to think.
You
We're the only people in the world that doubted Georgia's strength of schedule and doubted who they'd beaten. I mean, come on.
I'm just saying, all the Georgia fans who are like, you guys don't understand running between the tackles. You know, Alabama gets it. And best of luck with that.
Remember that guy that called in and told us Georgia invented defense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's go to the Northern Communication phone line. George is up with us. What's up, George?
I heard you. How you doing?
Doing well. Hope you are.
Nice. That's good. I was just calling in, talking about some of the games. It was a good New Year. I'm a South Carolina fan, and they did good against Michigan. You know, they came back and they made some adjustments, and we got some of our weapons back where we didn't have the last few games of the season. Got back Rico Dowdle and also Shy Smith that was able to stretch the field. Wish we'd had them at the couple of the last games of the year, you know, make our offense do a little bit better. But I did like the way that they the offense was ran and some of the adjustments that they made. And I think they're going to be pretty good next year. If you look at their schedule, and with Debo coming back and with some of the other players they got coming back and adding more depth, looking at their schedule, I think South Carolina can go like 10-2 next year. They got Ole Miss from the West, and they got Texas A&M coming in, and I think that's a good possibility that South Carolina can possibly go maybe like 10-2. We got Georgia the second game of the year. They losing everybody about on defense and offense. Possibility we can go maybe about 10-2, 11-1. And the Alabama game, I thought that had been a closer game. I figured Alabama would win. I know some of the statements they made. Nick Saban said that he think this is going to be the last trilogy of the Clemson and Alabama. When he made that statement, I was just wondering what he's trying to say, that Clemson's not going to be in it anymore. But you can tell that Alabama is still the top of the college football, and they're not going nowhere. They recruit better than anybody. They got more five stars than anybody. And just, it was like a total domination. I know that after Alabama scored like 17 points, I didn't see Clemson scoring on them, and just want to see what you think about it.
Well, thanks, George. We appreciate the phone call. I think, look, to his point about South Carolina, I think a South Carolina fan should be optimistic. Now, 10-2, 11-1, I don't know about that. When they went 9-4, the best win they had was against Michigan, right? To go 10-2, you're going to have a better win than you had all this year.
Let me give you this statement. Who in their division can South Carolina not beat besides
Georgia.
Maybe UGA? Okay.
That's it.
So...
They went 8-4 this year with a win over NC State.
But they lost to Kentucky.
They lost Kentucky. I mean, you got to beat everybody you're supposed to beat. Like I said, you went 8-4 this year. The best win probably was still NC State, but you know what I'm saying? To go from 8-4 to 10-2, you got to win a couple games you're not supposed to win. You know what I'm saying?
And they got to find a way to beat A&M.
They got to beat A&M.
They're cross-divisional.
Right.
You got to find a way to beat A&M.
And it's Jimbo now, and they're not, you know. That feels like at least an immediate... It's
but
an immediate upgrade.
I think the optimism is there for a lot of reasons, but also when you look at that division, especially this next year when you know you're going to have so many first-year head coaches, right? We think Florida's going to get back. We think Tennessee might get back to some sort of, you know, semblance of respectability. But for 2018, I don't see any team in their own division that they can't beat besides Georgia.
I don't disagree with that in any way, shape, or form. I'd be optimistic now.
And they get Georgia and Williams-Brice.
Now, George made a great point, and it is thing about Alabama. We talked about that a lot yesterday, at least domination on one side. I wouldn't say total domination, but I thought Brian McClendon did everything you could ask him to do against a really good defense with good players and a great top five coordinator in the country. I think he should be considered for the full-time gig. I really do as the OC. Hour 3 is next.